Welcome to church, everybody. I'm so glad you're here. I'm Aaron, one of your pastors, blessed and encouraged by this worship set. I love Josh and Julie. They're my friends and love hearing their voices together. Hey, so today is a really precious day. It's my friend Domingo's birthday. So happy birthday, Domingo. I'm glad you're alive. I'm glad you were born twice. That's really rad. Hey, so I'm here right here hanging out with you. Just wanted to let you know that I know that in this world, we need encouragement. And hopefully today you're recognizing that celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus, so we looked and remembered with communion, so broken bread, symbolic of his broken body, and the juice, symbolic of his blood shed for us, that we take that in as sustenance. We believe that Jesus died and that we needed him to. But we also celebrate on Sunday that he rose from the dead, right? He didn't stay dead, so we're encouraged in that. But some of us actually don't just need encouragement. We don't just need a you can do this, although we do and we want that. We also need an exhortation, right? We need a, come on, this is for you. God is awesome. Trust him, believe him, lean into him. Now, I am very, very fortunate to be married to my eighth grade sweetheart, but that has not always gone super well. We started in eighth grade a real broken mess, and we got messier yet. After that, we made some of our family messes, our own messes, and we had a lot go on in our lives, but what I've seen through all of that challenge and even the muck and the mire has just been a great love where God has not counted all of our sin against us, but forgiven us. And so it actually exhorts me, it pushes me to love her better and to not make it about me, which is challenging because I'm my favorite topic. And I know that for many of you, you're like, no, Gosh, I'm not about me. I really don't think I'm that much. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty lame. I'm weak. I'm so needy. And you actually will find yourself focusing on you in that, which is weird because it's not a prideful thing we don't think. I'm not thinking how great I am or how conceited I am, but you've actually made it about you. And so you need the exhortation that it's so not about you. It's about Jesus, and he laid down himself for you. He who knew no sin became your sin. He who was God in the flesh didn't hang on to that distinction, but he made himself a human. And he came and lived among us, and he loved us. He died for us, and he rose from the dead, and he left his word so we could understand him. And so not just an understanding, although knowledge is important, but an actual belief that I need him. That I need encouragement, I need exhortation, I need to be coached up, I need to be prodded on, I need to be like come alongside of him and say, you can do this, and here's some refreshment, here's some time to chill, even as we sang in the presence of our enemy, that we could have peace. This is from Jesus. And so hopefully today you're ready to receive that. I've been praying for us, I've been praying for my own self. There's just a lot going on in life, right? I mean, we got it. We're full. Life is busy. Our bodies aren't what we thought they would be, or they're really finally what we thought they would be, and people don't appreciate it as much as they should, or whatever, right? Money, all those things. And I hope that today you've come to see and experience Jesus, because that's who I'm going to point you to. And so as we take this morning's offering, I want to remind you that when we take an offering, when we actually take time to have people put, they have these things called checks sometimes, and people write checks. And then some people have cash, and some people are like, whoa, why don't you allow us to give online? We actually do. There's lots of options with that. But let's just put it kind of in perspective. Money has become a god for most of this world. And maybe it has for us. And so part of our worship experience, we remember that Jesus died because we needed him to. And we remember that money isn't our savior. And so we give. And we give generously, but we give obediently. And if you're at a spot where you can't give either generously or obediently, and you're just giving begrudgingly, I would tell you, lean into Jesus. But if you're still like, no, this feels like manipulation, dear friend, let it go. Let it just pass by you. But let's put money in its proper place. Let's not let it take over us. Last week, we talked about how the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And that the things in this world that we think are so amazing, the riches and being well-fed and well-thought-of and all those things, Jesus says that actually gets in the way because we find fulfillment in that and it's really not fulfilling at all. And so he flipped the script being countercultural and he said what a real blessing is being hungry and being poor and being maligned and marginalized because you actually get God's kingdom when you have nothing from this world that can satisfy. But you can actually have an attitude of hunger and an attitude of poverty without being physically hungry or physically poor. It's this attitude of focusing on Jesus and knowing that he's the leader. And so we're going to look at that today. I'm going to give you a chance, really shortly after we open, you know, the word, to pray and open your heart to this attitude that God would have for us. So let's pray. God, I want to thank you for this time. I want to thank you for not just an offering of money and time, but just an offering of us, that we would be here on this beautiful Sunday, and we would recognize that the beauty is you. You're the source, you're the power, you're the life. You're the way, Jesus. You're the truth. And so we give to you, Lord, of our time and of our talents, of our treasures, but really we give to you of ourselves. And so thank you for being here. Thanks for loving us. Have your way in us, we pray, in your perfect name. Amen. All right, so we started a series last week called Jesus is Countercultural. Will somebody just shout out, what does countercultural mean? Against the norm. Both of you guys said it. Jinx, you're... she started, you finished. Okay, great. But here's the reality. It's against the norm, and the norm is pretty significant in our lives, right? And so Jesus is teaching and showing that, and I want to ask you to consider, what is Jesus saying to you this very day? What is it that he'd be calling you to? I can't possibly know everything that's going on in everybody's heart. I don't even try. That's just like nerve-wracking and crazy-making. But God is able and has already. And so today we're going to look in this Jesus is countercultural. We're going to look in the book of Luke. We're going to be in Luke 6. But first, we're going to start with the character of God, which is actually countercultural to this world. But when you hear the character of God, what one word comes to your mind to describe the character of God? What do you think it is? And it can be, say it again. Love. Good. What else? Holy. Kindness. Father. Good. Amen. That's a loaded word for some of us, right? Father. Who? My dad was not the best, some of us think. What else?
Grace.
Grace. Amen. Thanks, Peter.
Healer.
Say it again.
Healer.
Healer. Good.
Mercy.
Mercy. Hope. Amen. Giver. You probably, some of you listen to Christian music and you're like, what? That's a thing for some of you? Yeah, it's a thing. There's actually radio stations with that. So 104.5, 105.3, there's 88.1. There's a lot of stuff. And then if you have XM radio, you can get whatever kind. You can go to 1980s worship music. And you're like, hallelujah. Maranatha, the Lord is alive still. Fine. But there's this song that says, help me want the healer more than the healing, right? And so I want to say today that the character of God is indeed all those things, but if we really want to look at who God is, we would take a look at Jesus, take a look at him in the Word. And so we're going to go first to 1 John, actually. We're not going to go to Luke. We're going to go to 1 John 4. We're going to go 7 through 12. Joe, thank you, my man. We're going to just go for it. So if you don't have Bibles, please know that there's Bibles underneath these seats, and they're not supposed to hold down the carpet. They're actually supposed to lift up your life, as it were. And so take it. It's yours. We love you. We want you to know the word. If you're like, already got one, it's on my phone or my tablet, good for you. If that doesn't happen for you and you just rather read it up here, you can have it happen. Please don't let me just lull you to sleep with my voice in this warm room. It wasn't warm earlier. It was cold. Man, and I mean like legit cold, but now it's getting kind of comfy. Please don't fall asleep. If you do, you're loved. I am reminded often of what Abraham Lincoln said. If you put the people who fell asleep in each church all around the country together, head to toe, if you laid them out like that, they'd be way more comfortable. All right. Here you go. 1 John 4:7-12. Beloved or beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God because, say it with me, God is love. Now we live in a world that says, no. Love is God. Nope. God is love. God's the source of love. God created love. Now, many of us have a lot of different expressions of love. We can love our spouse. We can love our significant other. We can love our children. We can love pizza. We can love the weather. We can love this really cool Cro-Magnon Jesus right here. We've got all kinds of things that we love. But love can go all over the place, and it can actually become lust. It can become like a trap. But if God is love, then he shows us what it looks like. He shows us what it means. And so look at this. Verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. It was shown among us. And what was this? That God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. We might live through Jesus. And this is love. Listen very, very close, friends. Not that we've loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the payment, the atonement for our sins. Does it say anything about his own sin in there? You know why? Because he's sinless. We're like, is that real? Yeah, he is perfect. That's what makes this so amazing. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one's ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected, made whole in us. Now they can see the love of Jesus in us. This is who God is. God is love. And so we're looking at his character today, and it's countercultural, because his love isn't what's called reciprocity, okay? Does anybody know that word? You ever heard the word reciprocity? Nobody. Cool. Good job. I'm about to educate some people up in here. All right? Reciprocity. It's reciprocal. It's this big concept that actually can be brought down to something small. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You do something for me, I'll do it for you. We have this social construct of reciprocity. And boy, that's a big word. Yeah, I read it this week. And what it means is that you return in kind what was done to you. You know what this is like, right? Anybody ever get a gift out of nowhere from somebody? Just a gift. You knew who it was. They gave it to you. How did that make you feel? Like legit. Loved. Good, Lila. Yeah, Debbie. Loved. You feel any level of obligation? Somewhere inside of you, you're like, no, man, I just love getting gifts. My shoe size is, you know, and you can yell that out and all that. But how about Christmas time? Somebody you didn't expect to give you a gift gives you a gift. You feel loved, and you also feel what? Like, darn it, I got to get them something. Maybe you don't feel that so much, but maybe you feel the negative side of reciprocity. You feel like when somebody cuts you off in traffic, you'll show them. Oh, really? Good luck getting back on. Hi. And you try to wave with all your fingers, right? Or somebody did you wrong, and you feel like it's your duty to just pay him back. I went to Briar Terrace Middle School. Anybody ever heard of Briar Terrace Middle School? Is that you too? We were the Braves back before it offended everybody. All right. But in that school, we had seventh graders and eighth graders. The seventh graders were called Sevies. And the eighth graders were called, I don't even know what they were called, because they were just called eighth graders. Not 80s, we were Sevies, right? And the Sevies got mistreated. And I remember walking by the eighth grade bench. And these larger than life eighth graders were there. And they would yell things at us, and they would throw things at us, and they would trip us. Hey, Sevy, go put your head in the garbage can. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. And they'd run at you, and then you're like, hey, I got to either beat them out of this building or into the office, because I will get put in the garbage can. And that was some of what went down. And I remember making a vow as a seventh grader, I'm never going to treat the seventh graders like that when I'm in eighth grade. You know what? I really didn't. But I hated a ton of those eighth graders. I wanted to pay them back. Now, I've gotten larger now, like my clothes shrink while they're hanging up and all that. So, I mean, I've expanded, but I've never really been a big dude. But in eighth grade, I was, you know, kind of like this big deal from a popularity standpoint. And then I got into high school, and it kind of continued a little bit. My one day sister-in-law was a senior, and so I tried to pay back all of those eighth graders that did me wrong. That's reciprocity. Trying to do in kind what was done to you. Jesus, in what we just read, wasn't about reciprocating what was done to him. He was in the full-on mode of initiating love. He started love because he is love. He's the source of love. He's the power of love. No matter what you've heard, no matter what song you've listened to, no matter what movie you dig the most, Jesus is the source of love. And how he loved was that he laid down his life for us. Huh. He didn't just like, look, I'm going to take a couple of days and I'm going to just chill a little bit and I'm going to clear my schedule so I can talk to as many people as possible. He died for us. This is countercultural. I want to bring you to what it looks like to initiate love the way Jesus says to initiate love. So let's go to Luke, who took time to write out this wonderful account of who Jesus is and was. And we started last week on this initiating love by initiating this kingdom teaching. Jesus goes up on this mountain, which is really more like a hill because we're from a place that actually has mountains. And so he was up on a hill and he had disciples around him, but he chose 12 of them and said, you are going to be my messengers. You're going to share this good news of the kingdom with all the world. All 12 of them abandoned him at one point. One of them literally sold him into arrest and murder. And one of them, the voice piece of all of them, named Peter, you know what he did? He denied Jesus 3 times. This is who Jesus chose to be his inner circle, his 12 that would go out. And he's coming down from that time, and he initiates this teaching of the kingdom. And we already talked about what we first see coming out of his mouth, and that's what blessing is and what curse is, what invitation to his kingdom is, and what warning of the kingdom of self would look like. If you need to go back, you can do that. Again, we have Bibles, you can have them. It's Luke 6, and we did, 20 through 26. And so now we're going to read 27 and 28. Just to get you going on what it looks like to have this initiating love. Jesus says, but I say to you who hear, those who are my disciples, those who want me to teach them, I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Whew. Forget countercultural. That's counter my heart. You know what I mean? That's counter natural. That's counterintuitive. That doesn't really make a lot of sense. Because this reciprocity, this giving back what's been given to us, is so real in us. It needs to actually die. And Jesus is the only one who can help that happen. Don't you know what they've done to me, Aaron? My enemies? You got to be kidding me. Love them. No, this isn't be in love with them. This isn't like marry them. You know what this is? This is do good to them. Do good to those who hate you. Gosh, you know what? If that's what Jesus is calling me to, I'm not sure I want it. Or if that's what Jesus is calling me to, I'm going to need him to help me do it. Bingo, we have a winner. That's right. You and I need Jesus. Whether you came in here thinking you needed help or not, Jesus continually tells you, yeah, you do need it. You need it big time. So I'm going to ask you right now, before we finish, and we really only have a little bit of time, and that's cool because this is a really concise message and it really speaks to you. But Jesus said, look, if you have ears, if you're here to hear, I've got a message for you. But some of you need to pray that your mind and your heart would be open. And so I want you to stop right now and pray for that. And if you're feeling good and you're ready for that, pray for those around you and pray for your friends and your family. I don't think this message is just for your friends and your family. I think it's going to be best if it applies to you first. And so go ahead. We'll take a minute and just sit here and pray for ourselves and pray for others. Jesus, I recognize that you said the most important thing was love. To love you with our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, all of it. And then to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. As has been put on my heart today, maybe one of my greatest enemies isn't the people around me, isn't Satan. One of my greatest enemies is me. I think that some of my friends here can relate to them getting in their own way the most. So would you help us to look at this fresh today, that we would actually love ourselves? Not just to be selfish, but to love ourselves the way you call us to not treat our own selves the way we feel like we need to be treated, or treat others the way they've treated us, but instead to take your teaching, King Jesus, to heart, not to ignore it, but to live it out. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Look, you're about to hear something that is really, really earth-shaking, life-rattling. So get ready. Luke 6, 29. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak or your outer coat, don't withhold your tunic, don't withhold your Under Armour either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. How many of you, when you first hear that, you're like, what? Hold on, Jesus wants us to get beat up? I'm going to be nobody's doormat. You don't understand what I've gone through. Hey, before you start to figure out exactly what he meant, is this literal or is this not? Would you go for the heart of the kingdom of God, that God is love and he calls us to love. And he calls us to love our enemies and those who hate us and those who abuse us, to pray for them. You don't have to be in love with them, but it's crazy when you choose to actually love somebody that isn't lovable. You're actually getting a chance, and I'm getting a chance to be in this abundant life that Jesus calls us to, because we're going to be more like him. Do you know how many people loved him perfectly? Right, nobody. Everybody was an enemy of God. Our sin separated us from him, and he came for us. to love us, to set us free. And so before you go, look, there's no way that God would want us to be abused. And I would agree with you. But before that, would you go with the attitude and the willingness to not retaliate? There would be this kingdom living where you have an attitude and a willingness to not have it all go your way, rather than fighting for that. Look, way back in the day, the Romans could actually force somebody to carry their pack for a mile. Hi, what's your name again?
Brittany.
Hi, Brittany, I'm Aaron. So let's say I'm a Roman soldier and I'm just a chump. I'm like, Brittany, carry my bag. But I wouldn't know your name. I'd just say, girl, carry my bag. And you know, by law, you'd have to carry that bag a stadia or a mile. You'd have to. And then when you get to the mile marker, Brittany would be like, peace, chump, and bounce. And you could. You probably wouldn't say chump because you might get slapped around by a Roman soldier. But here's where Jesus is calling us to something extra, something so amazing. He says, in another teaching like this, go the extra mile. Gosh, Chevron even has this thing, extra mile. It makes me think about Jesus, not, can I get a Bang energy drink in there? I don't think about that. I'm like, whoa, hold up. So this extra mile is like, yo, look, you may have forced me this mile and that's the law and I'm supposed to do this, but the extra mile is on me. I'm choosing in the strength and the love and the example of my Savior to love somebody the extra mile. Does Jesus want you to get beat up? No, he came for wholeness and completion. Will you be ignored, abused verbally, emotionally, physically by others who are not honoring and following God? Sadly, yeah. I'm not saying go for that and get beat up. As a matter of fact, I want to share with you what Jesus said on the night he got not only beat up, friends, but he got murdered. If you can, really quickly, you can join me in John 18, 22 through 23. Jesus is being questioned by the high priest, which should have known that Jesus was the true kingly priest. And the high priest is questioning him, and Jesus answers him, and the guard who was employed by the high priest didn't like Jesus' tone. So he punched him in his face. Verse 22 of John 18. When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, is that how you answer the high priest? Jesus answered him, if what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. Like, tell me what I did wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me? He didn't hit him back. He spoke back to him. Friends, was that initiating love or is that reciprocity? What did he show him that day when he said, what are you doing? Yeah, he was initiating love. And so we'll go back, and Joe, if you can get us to Luke 6:31, we'll go back to what's been called the golden rule. It's gold because it's out the mouth of Jesus, the King of Kings. We've given it that title. Nowhere in the Bible does it call it the golden rule. But this is good, and you ought to live by it. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Man, this is not a new teaching. The positivity side of it is. The old teaching, and literally, I want to say his name was Hillel, but it may not be Galil, and there's other rabbis, but the main big rabbi, I'm forgetting his name, that is probably the most famous rabbi outside of Jesus, and a rabbi is a Jewish teacher, okay? A priest, if you will. But the greatest teacher of all time taught, look, that which you hate, don't do to people. That's pretty good. I mean, it seems like, okay, I'm not going to treat people. I'm not going to treat the Sevies the way I was treated. But what about the eighth graders? He's like, what you hate, don't go and do that to people. Jesus flips that thing on its face and says, no, actually what you want done for you, what you wish people would do for you, go and do that for people. But they don't deserve it. They won't appreciate it. You're going to get a little piece of what Jesus has gone through. You're going to get a glimpse of what it's like to have this full life that's only found in Jesus. So as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. I would say also on an application for you, do this for yourself. If you ever read the Psalms, you know that David preaches to himself. He speaks to his soul. Oh, soul, why are you so downcast? What are you saying to yourself? Is it honoring Jesus? My beloved wife, my wonderful, literally almost lifelong companion calls me out because I say some really rough stuff about myself. Part of that is how I feel about me at times. The other part is I'm trying to do it before others do. You know, like a preemptive strike. But that's not what Jesus thinks about me. Am I desperate in the need of him? Am I a sinner needing grace? Yeah, well, that was who I was. I am his beloved child. And she reminds me, speak well about yourself. Speak well to yourself. And so as you wish for others to do to you, go and do that to them. That's initiating love, friends, and it's abundant life, and it's hard. There's this nice little shirt you can get at Walmart. You're like, Walmart, they're not union. I don't care. I'm just saying you can go there, and it says, y'all need Jesus. Great reminder, great shirt. 58,000 people will have that shirt. Good. Let's hope somebody gets the message. You need Jesus. You need him to live out the golden rule. And so as to really iron this one out for us, Jesus breaks it down even further for us. Luke 6, 32 through 34. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Even people who don't know Yahweh, who aren't in the family of God, they know how to do that. Well, I love you. Why? Well, because you're cute. I love you. Why? Because you give me stuff.
I love going to grandma's.
Why?
Because she's got candy.
I love that person because they always say nice things about me. And if you do good to those who do good to you, Jesus says, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Yikes. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. We're supposed to be like Jesus. We're supposed to follow his example. He gave to us knowing that every single human being was going to say no at first. We're not going to pay him back. You never could. You could receive his love. But it says in the book of John in the first chapter that he came to those who were his own and they didn't even recognize him. They didn't even want him. They actually killed him. So what would it mean to live out this golden rule? Wait a minute. Are you trying to say that I'm supposed to give people stuff and not expect anything in return? Look, I'm not trying to say that. Jesus said it. I feel like I'm supposed to say, what will you do with that? Have you ever had the, I can't lend money. I don't have money to give. Then don't give it. If you have something given you don't want to because you don't know what they're going to do with it, that's a different matter. Well, are they going to pay me back? I don't know. Is that what you're giving to them for? Look, often, and there's a lady in here who does the work of this more than anybody else in this church, but we have people fill out applications and say they need help. Often, those people that fill out applications and say they need help say, I'll pay it back. And we're like, this isn't a bank. This isn't a payday loan. This is kindness. This is love. And we sometimes don't give people financial help. We'll pray with them. We'll say, look, you're in a spot where money isn't going to answer at all. You've got a leadership issue. But we help people, and we help them a lot. And we don't expect anything in return. Now, if that was our last few pennies, it may be a lot harder to do. But is Jesus calling you to do that? I don't know. Is he? Let's go to verse 35 and 36, and we'll end on these verses. But love your enemies. He comes back to that again. And do good. And lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. Okay, then I'm going to get something back. We've got some people that have gone so far as to teach that for every dollar you give, God will give you back 100-fold. So just send it to my ministry on TV, and we're going to be good. And you'll be even better. What? That's disgusting. Give without expecting anything in return. Wow. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons, daughters of the Most High. Look at this part. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Look, I sadly have to raise my hand on both of those distinctions. I've been ungrateful and evil. On my own, that's how it goes. I've been given so much from God. But like the Israelites, they get this bread from heaven. Literally, they did nothing to earn it. They get this stuff called manna. They wake up in the morning and it's there. And they eat it for a while, and then they get tired, like, gosh, I wish we could go back to slavery when we had a better diet. I wish that was just their story. I have been so ungrateful, and I've been evil with my attitude to my wife and to my children on multiple occasions. I've done that with some of you. I've had people come up and say, wow, that was amazing. God really gave me a message through you. And my first thought isn't always thank you. My first thought is, what are you going to do about it? Ooh, gosh, what? We got that kind of pastor here? Yeah, he's all kinds of human. It's not all I think. I'm not just ungrateful and evil, but that's like me. And so God is saying, look, if you do good to those who good do to you, so what? What about doing good to those who don't do good back? Look at, I mean, it's right here. You're going to be like the Most High because he's kind and he's kind to the ungrateful and the evil, not kind to those who do what he expects them to do. And finally, verse 36, be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. What have you been shown? What kind of love have you been shown? How will you live out the character of God today? How will you live out love? How about this week? Look, for some of you, it's some simple stuff, and I don't know all of what God would say to you, and I've been praying for you that you would have an I will statement. I will be forgiving. I will repent of an evil, ungrateful attitude. I will repent of trying to pay people back for what they've done to me, either good or bad, rather than just say, look, I'm going to initiate love. I'm going to go and do for people the way I want them to do for me or in this world. Could you imagine if we took just that teaching of Jesus? Not just for social change and all that, but like loving God enough to say, I'm going to treat people the way I want to be treated. How different would our world be? How wonderful would it be? Just that teaching, and the reason why we could honor it is because he modeled it for us. But let me get down to brass tacks, and this isn't just because my dishwasher is broken. This is because it's a really simple way to look at things. In your house, in your tent, in your car, wherever it is you live and sleep, is there ways to serve others? In your community, you know how many pieces of trash get blown around this little tiny hamlet on a regular? What if you walked outside for 30 minutes? Oh, that's such a long walk. It's good for you. We'll go 15 then, okay? What if you walked for 15 minutes and just picked up trash? Get some gloves, get some from us, get some from the city. You just were to walk around and pick up other people's trash. That's so gross. Be careful, don't get a needle, because those exist in this community. Be careful what you're picking up, but you're picking up trash, and it's not yours. Oh, dear friend, there's a little example of how Jesus did for you. He picked up your trash. He actually became your trash, that you might become his righteousness. Woo! Okay, what about the dishes that sit in the sink? Well, I didn't do them. Yeah, I know you didn't do them. They're still sitting there. No, I didn't do them. I didn't make them dirty. Get over it. Jesus didn't get messy with his mess. He got messy with ours. And so how about loving and forgiving, and how about giving? I've been saving up a ton of money to do this or do that. What if you actually did something a little less expensive and gave your money in a different way? What if you realized, somebody said, oh, man, let it happen, let it happen. What if you actually didn't unload both barrels on your boss, but instead said to her, hey, can we talk? I just got some stuff that's unsettled to me, and I don't want to have a hard heart towards you. And she may be like, make an appointment. Cool. It's a hoop I have to jump through. I'm going to do it. What about the forgiveness of the people who did you so wrong when you were growing up? Not saying what you did was right, but saying what you did hurt me, and I'm not going to let it continue to hurt me, and I'm not going to hold it against you because I'm trying to swim with boots on. Get rid of it. Give it over to the King. Love people who don't love you back. Some of you read a lot in the Word, and so I'll encourage you to go to Exodus 34. Romans 5, some really good, helpful reading for me in addition to all of this. This countercultural Jesus is for real. And we sang a song about building our life on the rock, and on his word is the rock. And Jesus Christ is the word of God and is the rock. On Resurrection Sunday, we're looking at that passage, and that's where we're going, hardcore. What are you building your life on? Because if it's anything other than Jesus, it's going to fall apart. Lord, I know you. I believe you. I love you. I desperately need you. I believe in this room there's people that are all over the map. Some believe you. Some want you. Some know they need you. And then some just don't even get it. They don't want it. This has just been tough teaching. They don't know what to do with it. Would you fill them with your spirit and show them which way to step from here? God, for those who already know what they're supposed to do, and they came in here wondering, and they heard a message that was right for them, may they not put it off on somebody else. God, may they do it. God, may it be like that trash. May it be like the mess on the floor. May it be like the dishes in the sink. May they just do them, because it's the good and right thing to do. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.